Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the honor and the privilege of introducing a very special guest to the show, Carl Lashkari. Carl is a former management consultant and currently serves as a man's leadership coach. Carl transformed his health and his life by discovering his true self and connecting with his power and his heart as part of a 3-year journey recovering from chronic illness, and that has actually kept them mostly housebound for years. And through his journey, he's learned a great deal about the importance of aligning the mind, the body, emotions, and the nervous system, of course, physical body, physical movement, to actually create and harness the balance, the masculine balance and feminine traits, which makes us very uniquely beautiful. So I'm excited to bring Carl on to share his journey, but also how he's helping men all over the world. Carl, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lynette. How are you doing today?
I am blessed. I'm super excited to have you on the show. We're going to get into the work that you do, but tell me a little bit about yourself before we get started. Lashkari, what ethnicity is that?
So my parents are from India, but generations before that, the lineage actually comes from Iran. So the word Lashkari is from Iran.
That is interesting. Mm-hmm. And then you're currently now in Tulum, Mexico. Tell us a little bit more about your journey and what, you know, the transformation you had undergone to being the man of service that you are today.
Yes, absolutely. So I'll start at the top. I graduated from school with a finance degree and worked for several years in the corporate world, working with hedge funds, spending a little time working with technology startups in the business development capacity, and then working as a management consultant for cutting-edge technologies, automation technologies, and smart technologies. And while I was living in that world, I was, like a lot of people in the United States and around the world, working very, very hard, 60 to 70 plus hour weeks, traveling across time zones every Monday and Thursday to go to client sites. And I was pushing myself and being rewarded by having successful client projects and getting promotions and whatnot, and really pushing myself to the grindstone.
Yeah.
More coffee, more Red Bull, less sleep, and just telling myself I can power through it. I'm right. Strong. Right. I'm tough. Right. Mind over matter. Mm-hmm. And eventually, mind over matter ended up backfiring a bit as my body said no. I ended up getting these flare-ups every few months where I would wake up and I would have a sore throat. My body would be extremely tight to the point where I wouldn't even be able to move my muscles or walk. Really strong body aches, neck down, and inflammation in my head where getting words out would be difficult, thinking would be difficult. And that was very scary for me. And this happened 4 times and I still did not listen because I was just so busy and I didn't even have a home base. I was going from state to state. And all of a sudden, one day, the 5th time, it stuck. It did not go away. And I was forced to look it in the eye and stop working and focus all of my time and energy for the past 2.5 years on healing. Mm-hmm. And that journey has been a gift. It has allowed me to really look inward and understand a lot about myself, how my mind works, my emotions, my nervous system, fight or flight versus relaxation. And it's allowed me to really develop a sense of self-mastery over my body and my mind, to be able to know, tap in, check in, and know when I need to rest, know when opening my heart serves me, know when getting out of the over-intellectual mode and into more embodied emotional intelligence and intuition serves me. And it's just been a wonderful journey to really self-realize. And along that has come so many things, not only amazing healing, but it's allowed me to really get greater connection with who I am as a person, what my purpose is in the world, which we'll talk about in a moment, is around the men's work I'm doing. What makes me happy, what doesn't make me happy. And it's just given me a real congruence, what I like to call inner congruence, as to being fully, having full ownership of who I am and unapologetically expressing myself authentically as the unique individual that I am, rather than going around and maybe talking, acting, feeling the way I've been told to over the years by other people or by the media. This has really allowed me to tap in and fully be myself, and that's been a gift.
Yeah, and a big one. You've expressed what everyone like goes through. We don't know when to call it quits. We keep pushing the body more and more, and you know, as primates, we get into fight or flight. And we are not being attacked by a lion right now. We're not being attacked by a bear, but it's that chronic stress that causes us to get into this flight mode where overproducing cortisol to get us to the point of adrenal fatigue almost.
Mm-hmm. Where absolutely.
Anything that we eat, it has a negative response to our body. Our immune system is shot, literally shot, and recovery takes longer. So, your journey really sounds exciting. So tell us about some of the things that you learn and you're currently helping other men with.
Yeah. So what I've learned is two things that men struggle with specifically is, one, creating that connection with his inner self, specifically emotionally. You know, I think it's a stereotype out there that a lot of men do have difficulty connecting with their emotions. And, you know, that doesn't always have to be, it can be, but it doesn't always have to be a sappy thing. Emotions can be connecting with your inner warrior. Emotions can be, you know, connecting with your primal self. And it can also be connecting with your anger or your sadness, your frustration, all of it. And what I've found is the power of being connected with yourself is the most relaxing form of self-empowerment.
Right.
It's something you can relax into and rest into when you can trust yourself to be able to access and process whatever the moment needs emotionally specifically. So one of the elements is just creating this, what I speak of as inner congruence, and that's being able to have more of a mastery over your mind, your thoughts, your brainwave states, over your emotions, your heart, you know, through developing heart coherence. And then your nervous system, like you mentioned, we do not need to be running around stressed all the time in this society, only here and there. And to have facility over activating through the vagus nerve and through activating the parasympathetic nervous system receptors, that rest and relaxation response. So we can go through life mostly rested and relaxed. So we're restoring and our body rhythms into natural body rhythms. And then when we need to step into the fight or flight, we know how to do that and then come back when we need to. So I think that inner congruence piece is very important. And then the second piece is brotherhood. The reason why I'm choosing to work with men more than everybody is there are a lot of women's groups out there where women have been doing a great job for years getting together and leaning on each other for this type of work. Whereas with men, it's been a no-no. It's a sign of weakness. It's something that just men are afraid to do, to be honest. And this brotherhood, coming together in brotherhood, just has so many benefits, because the first is we realize that we're not alone. I think many men, when we experience problems, whether it's financially, career-wise, romantically, sexually, whatever it is, we always seem to feel like it's just us and it's something wrong or a lack. And when we get together, we realize that we're all working through something and we're all trying to be better. the best version of ourselves so we can have the lives we desire, so we can protect and be there for our loved ones. And when we come together to be able to support each other, to be able to hold each other accountable, and to be able to elevate each other, that's when magic happens, real magic happens.
Yeah, and it's important to get that congruency or that connectedness between men, so support, and it's easy to uplift one another. Do you find any challenges? Because, you know, society has taught us men or to be not machos and, you know, more masculine than actually tap into any femininity of some sort, which is the emotion or relating and connecting with other people. Do you find any challenge with some of your the people you work with, the men you work with?
Yes, absolutely. I think the challenge I've found is those men who are already into personal development work and growth and even spiritual growth, they tend to be ready and available to open up quickly. Mm-hmm. However, there's a lot of faction of men who maybe your traditional relationships with other men were more around beer and football and superficial level joking. And, you know, I'm a yes to all of that. That's the route I came from. And I still do that. I think it's fun. It's how men connect. And it's great. But because we're so used to connecting at that superficial level, many men have never in their life, at 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, never in their life connected at that deeper level, never expressed their feelings to another man, never expressed their desires, their deep desires to another man. And even their shadows, you know, they've just kept a lot of their true nature to themselves. Mm-hmm. So that it has been a challenge. However, what I found is mostly when these men who haven't experienced that, they see other men doing it, it becomes a yes very quickly.
Okay.
They do jump in very quickly. And, you know, what I believe, I talk about leadership, and I'm a big believer in leading by example. So when I walk in a room and I show my vulnerability and I show wear my emotions on my sleeve, other people, other men see that it's safe to do so. So what I've found is men are more eager to get into that space than you would think. It just feels very lonely and it feels wrong because that's what we've been told. We've been told it's wrong. However, when they see other powerful, strong, big, muscly, rich, whatever men doing it, then it's like, okay, I can do this too.
I like that, and that it's appealing, you know, it's inviting. You make it inviting for them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And not all of it is emotions, sad stuff. It's everything of who we are as a man. So a lot of what we do is helping men get more into their power, get more into their truth and their core belief system, and unapologetically be themselves, be powerful. But it's also allowing yourself to be vulnerable, because we as humans, we're all of it. We're strong and we're weak. We're all of it, right?
Yeah.
In different moments.
Yeah, and that's phenomenal. And you're able to tap into quite a bit of that. What are some of the exercises that goes on?
Yeah. So go through a variety of things, usually starting off with inner discovery through guiding meditations, guiding breath works. I have a few certifications there, which I've been guiding meditation and breath work for a few years, helping men go within a little bit, cycle their emotions to come up, which tends to happen during some of these activities, and feel into what those are. Feel into what are some of the emotions maybe that have come up over the last few weeks, but I haven't allowed myself to really look at or really feel as deeply as my body needs. And being able to look into those things. And then I run the men through some practices to express these things and to fully feel and fully express them so they can process some of the events and the emotions that maybe hadn't been processed. And so that's an example of one of the practices. I also do some practices about putting yourself in the energy. You know, once you've cleared some of the emotional baggage, once you've cleared some of your limiting beliefs through some of this emotional expression work and visualization work, then we can call in the emotions and the energies that best serve us. Then we can elevate our emotions to states of joy, states of happiness, states of ecstasy, really.
Yeah.
And in those states is where things tend to happen. People tend to gravitate to us. Situations that we desire tend to gravitate to us. So I really tend to break it into two pieces. One is clearing some of the baggage that we haven't allowed ourselves to clear. and the other is creating a charismatic, inspirational, and powerful presence that magnetizes people to us, that allows us to be the man we want to be in the world.
Yeah, and I can see the benefits, especially within the families, not just business and connecting with others, but like in-house, the impact.
Yes.
What are some of the things that you've heard?
Family dynamics has been, it's funny you say that, Lunid, because no matter what I end up starting off with, whether we talk about business or we even talk about sexual relationships, family dynamics and relationship dynamics, always, it always comes back to that. And a lot of what I have seen is a lack of communication due to these men. And the reason, you know, there's obviously two sides to the coin, but I like to take accountability and I like my clients to take accountability. So for them, it's really, are they allowing themselves to feel the moment and feel the connection with who they're with, whether it's their children, their wives, whoever it is that they're with? Are they allowing themselves to truly feel the moment, understand what they need, communicate and express their needs, listen, stop and listen and understand the other person's needs, and just create non-reactive but responsive dialogue without getting caught up in the emotions? And when we do this men's work, what we allow these men to do is we allow these men to get rid of some of those toxic emotions in this safe container with other brothers. So you can express those, because we all have sometimes reactive emotions, toxic emotions that we just need to get out. And there's no need to make that wrong, but this gives a safe container to get that out. So then when we show up in our family dynamics with our partners, with our children, we can show up with more equanimity. We can show up with more groundedness, with more presence, being able to truly listen without reacting, and therefore inviting the other person in to partner with us.
Powerful, powerful stuff. Yeah, that shift will, you know, the change starts in the house, right? And because the home, the family is the first organization that we're part of. And if we have a healthy relationship in the home, then where it's going to transfer over outside of the walls, into the world, into our business, that the foundation, the groundwork is in-house. So to be able to do that work, to directly affect it is huge.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We are relating creatures, and no matter how much people want to deny it or say they're independent, self-sufficient, our relationships with the people close to us matter. They matter. And many times when I work with, you know, business leaders on business growth, we end up spending more time talking about family dynamics and relationship dynamics, because there's no way you can have an open heart with your team in your business if your heart is closed at home. There's no way you can have trust in your business if you don't have trust at home. So I fully agree with that, Lunid, and it's all connected.
So true. Now tell us about, do you work with the morning routines with your men? Because I know you have a morning routine, and we want to get into that as well, in terms of how to prime yourself physically, emotionally in the morning, and how that affects the energy for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. First, I'll talk a little bit about my routine and then touch on how I'm working with others with it. So what's really important for me, so I've had a journey for the last 3 years, like you mentioned, healing from a chronic illness. And it was really important for me, not having an answer from the medical system, to be able to recover myself. And really, I've been able to meet a lot of recovery milestones that I didn't know if I would ever meet. And a lot of that was through, like I said, developing that inner congruence. So I have a morning routine, which I do to develop that inner congruence. And the power of doing that is, you know, we all wake up every single day feeling a little bit different, right? Some days we feel happy. Some days we feel powerful. Other days we feel sad. Other days we're focused on a conversation we had with a family member or a colleague. And as we're sleeping, with the different thoughts that come in our subconscious, you know, 95% of our thoughts in our subconscious, we wake up in different moods and different energies each and every day. So my morning practice is really focused on coming to a baseline every morning. So mentally, emotionally, nervous system wise, I come back to this baseline that feels familiar every morning. So I can start my day from a place that's consistent, continuing from where I left off yesterday, instead of being distracted or feeling like I'm a new person today, which a lot of people have to work through. So I have a routine that consists of some meditation practices, some breath work, visualization practices, some emotional embodiment practices. And the intention is to be able to clear any stuck emotions from myself, to come back to a neutral position through a specific meditation that I do, to get into that parasympathetic rested nervous system, doing some breath work and some meditation, and then building heart coherence, opening up my heart every single morning. Once I open up all those channels, I feel like the same person as yesterday. I feel like a consistent energy, and I'm ready to attack the world with my day. It's been healing for me in terms of my symptoms from my illness, and it's also been really helpful in my business and my relationships to come with this consistent energy that is clearing the baggage and really tapping more into the charismatic and neutral parts of myself.
Yeah, those are some really good stats. We do have over 60,000 thoughts a day, and 90% of those are negative. So no wonder we're waking up not knowing what to expect, or waking up with the same thoughts as yesterday. And then having that same, reliving that same experience, like a, you know, Groundhog Day, and not knowing how to get out of it. And that's the morning routine is a way to kind of clear the channels, as you say, clear the energies so that you can start off on the right foot, you know?
Yes.
It's just like eating. It's just, it's necessary on a daily basis, because we have gunk that's been built up for decades. And so it actually takes that primal work in the morning to hit the refresh button.
Absolutely. I think working out our mind and emotional states is just as important as physical workouts and nutrition, which are more celebrated in our current day and time. And fitness and nutrition are very important, but so is mental health and so is emotional health. So this is a workout routine for your mind and your emotional body.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so what you were asking about working with other men, I've incorporated this into a few of my clients, into their routines. And I'm actually in the process right now of putting together a program with my business partner to create this routine to help this hit the masses. So it will be a mix of videos, audio practices. I've recorded tens of guided audio practices, educational videos, and then weekly group coaching. And that's to help people integrate into bringing balance into their mind and their emotions and their nervous system. And this is an 8-week program that is in the works right now and should be launched in the next couple of months. And really excited for that, to bring some of the learnings I've learned. And it will be customizable enough that each person who has a little bit of a different, you know, we're all wired differently, will be able to adapt to it to create their own morning routine that fits best. And the four pillars of this program is clearing the stuck emotions, dissolving limiting beliefs, bringing our body rhythms back to neutral, back to their natural state. And then what we just talked about, elevating our emotions, turning those 90% negative thoughts to positive thoughts by not just thinking positive thoughts, but baking them into our nervous system. That's the key. I think we live in a world where people are always ingesting information and then it comes into one ear and out the other. A lot of what I'll be helping people with is practicing this to really memorize it into their nervous system and into their subconscious minds.
Yeah. I want to ask about how you help with the dissolving and eradicating limiting beliefs, because the method that I currently use is habit rewiring that actually goes into the subconscious mind and detect the root cause of the belief. And then from there, we interrupt that pattern and we instill, rewire the brain with powerful, empowering, not just affirmations, but customized beliefs that is that gets ingrained and entrenched in the brain, because the subconscious mind is like an old tape that is on replay. And the only way to actually get rid of the baggage, the programming that's on there, it's to replace it with new ones. That's how I use it with habit rewiring, because you gotta sometimes get rid of these limiting beliefs so you can build better habits, because there's something keeping you stuck from actually creating new behaviors, new patterns. And so finding out the root cause, plucking it out, and then it becomes a lot easier to instill new ones. So how do you go about eradicating limiting beliefs, helping your clients eradicate them?
Yes. So it's a very similar concept to what you described. And how I help them is first by understanding what realities in their life are part of their life that they don't like, that aren't their desired realities. And then going deeper into what actions are they taking to result in these undesirable realities. Underneath that, what are the thoughts that are leading to these actions? Underneath that, what are the emotions that are leading to these thoughts, that are leading to these actions, that are leading to these realities? Underneath that, what are the events that created these emotions? And then bringing those to consciousness, and then through guided meditation practices, disattaching from those stories, disattaching from those emotions, and knowing that those were put on us at one point in our lives by someone else or by something else, and knowing that we are not that, and then designing an alternate reality. What is an alternate reality to this that is desirable? And then designing alternate actions, thoughts, emotions, and through this meditation, this guided meditation process, wiring that in. So it's very much a discovery process of where did, like you mentioned, where did the subconscious way of being come from, finding a way to understand that that isn't the only reality that is capable, and then designing a new reality and wiring that into our subconscious.
Nice. that's a phenomenal. Yeah, it's great work that you're doing in helping men overcome their negative beliefs to empower them to thrive in life, to thrive in business, but within their families as well.
Yeah. Thank you. And one thing I can say is, as part of my healing journey from this chronic illness, when I started to do this work specifically around heart coherence and taking away these limiting beliefs, I would directly have symptomatic improvements. And that's when I really started to go down this rabbit hole, realizing, okay, there's something here. I need to keep digging. And that's really what helped me and what's brought me into this space.
Yeah, have you noticed there's a shift with the way we approach healing these days? It's almost like we're going back to the tried and true, the holistic way about going things, because a lot of modalities, a lot of sickness starts in the mind.
Yes.
It's the trigger that causes the body to react. The same way when you started the healing process, you started seeing the physical changes. It's the same way we create our own illnesses with these mental blockage. And so I've noticed a shift over the years where people are more open to this work.
Yes.
This method of healing, which is quite fantastic to see.
Yes.
As a psychologist.
Absolutely. And you'll know this, 20 years ago, if it was a physical ailment caused by a bacteria or a virus, people would take it really seriously, right? Okay, let's look at this. Let's find the medication. Let's find it. But if it was something created by the mind, so many people, including professionals, doctors would say, it's in your head. And almost like it was less validating what is going on just because it was in our mind. And to me, that was a very sad reality. And it's good to see that there's so much awareness in the last decade rising when it comes to mental health. And I think it's really important to know that we can as easily fall sick from our thoughts or our feelings than we can fall sick getting stung by a bug out in the Amazon. And knowing that both have to be taken equally as seriously and both need to be addressed. So it's really nice to be seeing that.
Yeah, same here. And that awareness kind of lets people begin to take ownership for their self, their reality, and stop being externally throwing it out to somebody else, but it's more internal. It's like, okay, something's wrong innately. Let's figure out what that is so we can change our external environment, you know?
Absolutely. And as I can say as a testament from my life, I did this work to heal. And then all of a sudden I found in all areas of my life, I'm getting closer and closer to my desires, to what I've actually, how I've wanted to live my life. I am living the life I wanted to live despite this illness, because I've been able to pick up all these tools to create my own reality, which is impacting my business, which is impacting my friendships and my intimate relationships. So it's just such, there's no more personal power you can have than being able to intentionally create thoughts, feelings, and actions.
It's well put. That is well put, because now we own it. Now there's that reassurance that nothing's wrong with us. We just have to go within. Everything we need is within. We just have to direct the subconscious mind in the direction that supports what we're looking to achieve externally or in our environment. So it's pretty powerful.
Absolutely. And one more thing I'd like to say on that, you know, for those listening, you know, not everyone will be able to relate with illness or mental stuff, but I have written on my whiteboard, I don't do this work because something is wrong. I do this work because I want to live the life I desire. And I think this work is not only be done reactionary to a problem, but can be done proactively to be the man or woman you want to be in the world.
Yeah. I think you said it best, like nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong with me. And where we're so focused on being a busybody, so focused on doing, because we're avoiding what's inside. We're avoiding our internal voice, avoiding that internal guidance, that intuition that can serve us as a very powerful tool. But just the art of being still, the art of accepting who we are and that we're human beings. We got to just be.
Absolutely.
And that's hard. That a lot of, we don't know how to do that, to be frank. We weren't taught that growing up. They tell us at school. I remember growing up, I grew up in Haiti, and they used to have a ruler. If you don't pay attention, you get whacked on your knuckles. You know, pay attention, wow. focus. And even in the States, in America, you need to focus. But no one actually taught us how to focus. How do we direct the mind to quiet down, to direct it so that it is productive, it is focused? We're told what to do, but not how to do it. You understand?
Yes. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, that we can intellectualize it. Someone can tell you, be focused so you'll be productive. But until you practice it every day, every morning, you're not going to be able to cultivate focus if it's just an idea, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. That's right. This is a great conversation. Please let us know, how can we connect with you? How can we find you?
Yes. So anyone can learn more about me and the movement at www.karllashkari.com. And there's also a white paper. I have a 30-page blueprint, which describes my philosophy around all of this work. And for any of the men who are looking to get more involved in brotherhood and community and building together, I am hosting community men's work right now. Have a group, I mentioned this earlier, of about 400 folks or so in Tulum, Mexico. And we have a men's work community here looking to bring it to a dozen other communities in the next couple of years. And also we'll be starting in 2 weeks a virtual men's community. So this will be for those who don't have the luxury to connect, you know, because of COVID, because of any other reasons. We'll be getting online and working through our different masculine and feminine traits within us through brotherhood in this virtual capacity. So if anyone's interested in that, you can go to karllashkari.com/menswork. And then lastly, I mentioned to you about the program around the morning routine, around elevating your state. And for anyone who wants to learn more about that, you can go to karllashkari.com/elevate.
Fantastic. Carl, this has been a great conversation. I really thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, Linnea. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a delight.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.